Well, we've been looking over the three kind of meetings around Christmas time last Sunday and today, this morning, at three of the titles that Isaiah gives to the coming Saviour. One a bit earlier in the book, the word Emmanuel. Children, particularly young children, do you want to tell me what that means? You were here last Sunday. If you're in junior school, if you're in the lower part of junior school, key stage one, Emmanuel means... So I start you off, God. Let's go up to secondary schools, college, university, retirement home. Any of the slightly older children want to tell me? Emmanuel means, you might have shouted out, I just couldn't hear. Yes. God with us, brilliant. We did that last Sunday morning. Emmanuel, God with us. And then in that section Isaiah we read, which is up on the screen there, in chapter 9, we looked last Sunday evening... Anyone remember who was here last Sunday evening amongst all the candles and general fire hazards? We looked at which title? Adult, just tell me. Cheer me up. Prince of Peace. And now this morning we are looking at Mighty God. Mighty God as a title for the coming Saviour, for the coming Jesus. So that's what we're looking at this morning. Mighty God. But it is Christmas Day. So I just wondered if any of you children, or indeed adults, I know Dave has one, has got a present they'd like to show us. It's Dave's jumper, by the way, just so not to embarrass him too much, which he's going to take back in the sale tomorrow and then see if he can sell it back to them and then buy it back in the next sale at half the price. It's a good plan. Yes. Do you want to tell me or show me or anything? Bible. Good present. Don't want to be too cliched, but it's the best present. Yes.
Bongos.
Wow. Adam had some bongos once, didn't you? Like that? Yeah, cool. Hope you'll play them better than Adam does. Cool. All right. Don't feel sorry for him. He has a charmed existence, really. Was there one down here? Oh, sorry. It's behind you. Hello, what have you got? It's a car. Is it a wind-up car? Is it? There's a key for it. Does the key have any significance? Okay. Cool. Well, that's a brilliant car. I'd like one like that. I'm an engineer by sort of background, so I want to know how it works now. So I'm going to get completely distracted. Anything else? Any other presents anyone wants to show me? Yes, Layla. Oh, a Kindle. Ah, nice one. And if anyone could tell Layla how to turn the Kindle on, that would be good. And you have to take that plastic wrapper off. And I think, Tandra, you got a present. Isn't it in your boot? In your shoe? Oh, you didn't get that? Oh, no, okay, you didn't want to show. Okay, oh, that's all right. It's all fine. She's got a nice phone. Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you. Get to a certain age, I don't know. Anything else, yes? Oh, a guitar. Oh, does it work?
We need it tuned.
Let's have a go. It's out of tune, I'm afraid. I can feel from here. Okay. And you got a guitar as well. I don't need to play yours, but I'm sure it's very nice. Good. Oh, I can play yours if you like. I was trying to... You play it for me. That's even better. Is there anyone else I can upset here this morning? What a general lack of discretion. Anything else anyone wants to show me? I'm missing out. Oh. All right. Well, anyone want to guess what that is? Looks like a small Christmas pudding. Was there one back here?
Christmas dress.
Oh, Christmas dress. Nice. You going to wear it all day?
Yeah.
Mmm. Anyone else got a Christmas dress? Anything else like that? Okay. Does anyone want to see my presents? I've got three presents to show you that you might be interested in. So I'm going to unwrap them for you. And show them to you. Oh, I better not advance that, otherwise you'll see the first one. I've got to remember what the first one is. Right. So, first present I've got looks like this. Anybody want to guess what it is? Yes? That's a good guess, but it's wrong. Pardon? Well, shall we have a look? Does somebody want to come and help me unwrap it? Do you want to come, Millie? Because I need help, because it was very, very well wrapped by me, as you can see. Ah. It's a globe. Ah, very good. Thank you, Millie. Well, that's my first present. It's a globe. Ooh. And that helps us remember something about Jesus, that Jesus is the mighty creator. You know that Matthew and Luke, they describe the birth of Jesus, all the kind of history, what actually happened. But John, in that bit that we read from John's Gospel, he describes what's actually going on. And in some of those words we read, he said, "In the beginning was the Word." And he's talking about Jesus. He says, "In the beginning, right before there was anything, there was God. But in particular, there was Jesus. And through him, all things were made." So this globe is a brilliant present because it reminds us that Jesus made the world. We don't always think about that. Jesus was there making the world. It's not like Jesus was a spectator. So there was God the Father making the world, and Jesus was just kind of looking on and saying, you know, when am I going to get to do something? It's not like that. As we were thinking about last Sunday evening, perfect harmony within the Trinity. They complement each other. And in particular, Jesus was what we might call the agent of creation. He was the one doing the creating. He was the craftsman at his Father's side, making all that we see and feel and hear and touch and taste and experience. Everything physical in the universe was made by Jesus. There is not a star or a planet that he wasn't involved in. There is not a grain of dust. There is not a molecule or an atom. There is nothing within a cell. There is nothing within any universe, any galaxy beyond us that Jesus does not know about. From the biggest thing right through to the smallest thing, from the loudest to the quietest, he knows about everything. There is nothing, there's nothing you could think of physical that Jesus didn't make. Absolutely nothing. No material, no animal, no plant that Jesus didn't make. And of course, he knows all about it. Jesus has all power. He's the creator. He's majestic. The whole creation is his. So, what are you going to do about it then this morning? Jesus is the creator, Jesus made everything. Our culture is celebrating a birth and a birthday and giving presents. But are you going to say, this is the birthday of God the Son who was there at creation, creating? That's the first present. Now, the second present, I think that'll be a harder one to guess, but you can have a go. Anyone want to guess what the second present is? Yes? It's not a football, no. I wish it was. But no, it's not a football. Pardon? Shall I start to unwrap it a little bit? Might help. Someone else want to actually help me unwrap it? Yes, Nathan. You shot your hand up first. I see how you unwrap presents. Typical man. All right, anyone want to guess now? Now it's sort of half undone. I don't want to make it too obvious by holding it too well. Yes, I think it is. It is a crown. Does anyone just want to finish off with me? Do you want to do that, Tom? Do you want to finish off unwrapping it for me? That would be good. Well, actually, you're doing so much better reading your Bible, so I don't know what to do. Do you want to help? Okay. Thank you very much. Well, it's a crown. Some of you might recognize it from the Nativity. Either I have a large head or it's a small crown, but either way, it doesn't fit. But it's a crown. And what do you think the crown's going to remind me of at Christmas? Yes, Millie. The fact that Jesus is a king. Not only is he creator of the world, he is also the king. Let me put that somewhere, just there, that'll be good. He is also the king. Remember what the angels, told the shepherds. Today, in the town of David, there is a Savior who's been born, and he is, let me just get there, he is Christ the Lord. And I'm sure many of you know, but just in case you don't, Christ is the same word as a word in the Old Testament of the Bible, Messiah, which means anointed one, which means king, someone sent by God to lead God's people. So Jesus is not only creator, he's also king. And of course, you could say, well, Jesus is already king. Haven't you just said that he made everything? So surely he's creator and king anyway, because he's the boss of everything. But I suppose when we say king, we're saying a couple more things than just kind of he made everything. We're saying he was the promised king, and we're saying he's the people's king. When we say he's the promised king, we say he's the one who was promised from right from the beginning. You remember when Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God, they decided to go their own way, to choose what was right and wrong. And even then, there was a promise that there would be someone coming who would crush the serpent's head, who would get rid of sin, who would come from the woman. So there was a promise there. And many other promises right through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of the history of the people of Israel, promises that there would be a coming king. And Jesus is that promised king. There have been some pretty good kings and some pretty lousy kings, but this king, King Jesus, was the promised king. Fulfills all the promises. It's all happening right now as Jesus is born. So he's the promised king, but also he is his people's king. If you think about it, a king doesn't really work as a word. If you haven't got any people, you can't be the sort of king of nothing. It's like standing on a object of some sort and saying, I'm the king of the castle. Well, you are king of this bucket you're standing on or whatever, but that's the only thing you're king of. A king's not really significant unless he's the king over something. Happy Christmas. And Jesus is the king over his people. He always rules his people. He's gracious to his people. He's a protector of his people. He's a provider for his people. He's a mighty God who's the creator, but he's a mighty God who's also king, the one promised, the one for his people. So now you've got something more to think about. Not only is he the creator that you should worship just because he made everything, he's also a king who has people who follow him. And so you're confronted with the question every time you hear God's word, is he your king? Is he your king? Are you one of his people? Is he the king of you? If he's the promised king who's the center of history, you want him to be your king. Is he your king this morning? So he's mighty God who was creator. He's mighty God who's king. And then he is mighty Savior. Mighty Savior. I've got another present, which is really hard to guess. So anybody want to guess, though? Do you want to guess, Ben? Oh, you can help me unwrap it. That'd be fine. Anyone else want to guess before he does that? What? No? If it is a book, it's ruined. What? It's made of material, yeah? Have a go. What? A robe. A robe. Oh, nearly. It's sort of a robe. It is actually a real present. Anyone want to guess now? It's an apron. It's for various duties I have to perform. And it's a real present, it's new. Robert Dias, that ridiculous shop. It's got everything, but not what you want, or in the right quantity. But here it is. It's an apron. It's an apron because for me personally, there is much to do. Especially on a day like today. But there we are. What do you think, children? Don't care what the adults think. Children, do you think it looks all right? Okay. I'll keep it on for a couple of minutes. I don't think it's too distracting. It's not quite as bad as at the end of term service where I wore my underpants on the outside. And Caroline said that was distracting for quite a while. I did have underpants on the inside as well. But there we are. So, it's an apron and it's a real present. So, the globe reminded us that God the Son, Jesus Christ, is the Creator. And the crown reminded us that God, the Son, mighty God, is also mighty King. And I wonder what this reminds us of. It reminds us that he's the Saviour. But in particular, I put this on to remind us of our verse of the year. Now, does any of you children remember what our verse of the year was? It's a really hard question, but we did look at it twice through the year. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, although he's mighty God and mighty King, he came to serve. So I put this apron on to remind us that he came to serve others. Because when you put something like this on, generally speaking, you're trying to be helpful. You're trying to help other people. You're trying to serve other people. You're serving them food. You're cooking them food. You're doing the washing up. You're serving. That's what you wear an apron for, to serve. And Jesus, surprisingly, amazingly, came to serve. That's what the angels told the shepherds, wasn't it? That there's a Saviour who's been born, who's Christ the Lord. So not only is he King, not only is he God the Creator, he's also a Saviour. And the way he saved was by serving. It's really simple to remember, isn't it? The way he saved is by serving. And the way he served was by dying. Of course, he served in his life. He did lots of great things for people. He taught them the word of God. He healed some of them. He fed some of them miraculously. He served in his life. But the big thing he did to serve was to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life. That's why he came as a baby. That's why he was born. That's why he grew. He developed. That's why he started preaching and teaching. That's why he was here. That's how he was King. By serving, and he serves by giving his life. That's amazing. It's astonishing. The maker of everything, absolutely everything, the rightful ruler of everyone, hangs lifeless on a tree bearing our sin. He saves by serving. He's the maker of everything. He's the rightful ruler, but he becomes a man not to be served as king, not to make people bow down to him at that moment, but actually to serve them by his death. He willingly becomes limited by a human body. He willingly takes the pain of living, and more than that, the pain of dying. Jesus, mighty God, is also a mighty Saviour. He gives of himself. He serves himself. He puts his apron on to come to this world, and he serves by dying. And to people who should have worshipped him but didn't, and for people who should have been his friends but were his enemies, to people that should have been his people, he came, he was rejected, he died, and he died to serve them, not to spite them. He died to serve them, to pay for all the wrong that they'd done. He's mighty God, and he's being mighty God in an extraordinary way. Some lines from a song we sometimes sing at Christmas. He fights for breath, he fights for me, loosing sinners from the claims of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free, death defeated by Emmanuel. So as he's hanging there on the cross, he's being mighty God dying. He's being mighty King dying. He's being mighty Saviour dying. As he hangs there, he wins a great victory because the claims of the devil, the claims of God's justice that would condemn us, are defeated. They're done away with. There's a great victory. And you know what? It's Sunday morning this morning. It's not just Christmas Day. It's not the birthday of Jesus. It's the rising birthday of Jesus. And this morning we celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. Not only was his birth real, not only was his ministry real, not only was his death a real historical fact, his resurrection was true as well. And whatever muddle you are in about Christmas, know this, the church is here, Christians are here this morning, because Jesus rose from the dead victorious. He's a mighty Saviour. He served, but he died, and his work was done, and he rose up, and he is alive this morning. And if you were just celebrating the birthday of a baby who was a significant person in history, what a waste of time. Spend more time watching TV and opening presents. But because we're worshipping the birth of a baby who became a man, who died to pay the penalty for sin, who rose again and is alive this morning and is with us, actually here with us by his Spirit, then we can celebrate. And we can do that every Sunday, with or without the presents. That's our joy this morning. Jesus came. He made everything. He's the maker of the universe. He's the king. And he came to serve. You need to worship him. You need to follow him. You need to be saved by him. You need to trust him. I don't know why you're here this morning. Many of you are here because you're trusting in Jesus. And it's a great reminder for us as we together worship the King. That's good. Some of you are here out of obligation or habit, dragged along for another occasion like this. And there's no words I can use really other than the word of God just to say again to you that this is Jesus. And why would you want to spend the next year until the next Christmas not knowing this one who's the creator, not knowing this one who's the king, not knowing this one who's the savior? What are you going to do for the next 12 months until Christmas comes round again or another family occasion? What are you going to do without this Jesus? You're helpless without him, and life is great with him. So trust him. No presents are going to change your life like Jesus will. How many more times will you have opportunity to sit in a building like this and hear about this baby and think, oh yeah, interesting, maybe one day, maybe it's something that I might take an interest in. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be a great present? I said about the Bible being the best present, of course it is, but the best thing to receive on Christmas Day is to receive Jesus into your heart and say, I want this man who was born as a baby on this day that we celebrate, who became a man, who died, who rose again. I want him to be my mighty God. God to me in that he made everything, and of course I need to worship him because of that. God to me because he's the king, and he's my king, and he provides and he protects me. And God to me because he's my savior, who saved me by his death, and is gloriously vindicated by his resurrection. What do you want to do this morning? I want you to put your trust in Jesus. I want you to trust him and say, I want him as my creator God, as the mighty God who's my king, and as the mighty God who's my savior. And if you want to know what that means, then please come and talk to me. I can stay as long as you like to try and explain that. And if you do trust him this morning, celebrate, enjoy your lunch, enjoy your family, enjoy your presents. Don't idolize any of them. And recognize and trust this mighty God, Jesus Christ.